We're looking at chapter number 5. You don't need to stand tonight. We'll be reading several verses. Galatians chapter number 5. Brother Joe Dees, would you pray for me tonight, brother, before I preach? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, Galatians 5, Paul was dealing here with a church that had problems of legalities. It seems like it's hard to find a balance in our Baptist churches. A lot of churches are either so legal that they can't enjoy the blessings of God, or two, they've got so liberal that you can't even hardly stand to be around them. But you know, God is a God of balance. God did not save us to put us in shackles. God saved us to set us free. Can I get an amen tonight? And so, Paul now, he's dealing with the people that they've put regulations on the gospel, on people. They seem like they've added some things to the gospel of working things in. Paul reminds them about the thing of grace, and then tonight he deals with the things of the flesh. He says that, first of all, in chapter 5 and verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. He said, if you boys think the law is keeping you saved, you don't know nothing about grace. But he said, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. In other words, he said, it's not a fleshly thing that's going to get you to God. We're saved by grace through faith. Sort of like folks say, well, if they don't have a haircut, they're going to die and go to hell. What foolishness. Hear a preacher say, well, if a woman wears pants, what foolishness, they'll die and go to hell. Well, you know, I'm glad we're saved by grace tonight. You know, I've even learned that people that have earrings don't die and go to hell. Amen. People with tattoos don't die and go to hell. People don't smoke cigarettes don't die and go to hell. Not just for that. You die and go to hell because you don't get saved. And so I'm glad we're saved by grace. And then he deals with some stuff going on in the church. He says now in verse number 13, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty. And only use not liberty for occasion of the flesh. In other words, he says, just because you're saved by grace, that don't give you a license to sin. Don't give you a license to sin. Boy, some of you, it was a grand day when you found out you could sin and still be saved. Somebody say amen right there tonight. But liberty is not a license. Liberty is freedom. And only use not liberty for occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. You start talking about somebody and start messing around with somebody's affairs, before long they'll consume you. They'll have you in a prison cell and you can't get away from. Boy, to be jealous and bitter tonight is just like being in a jail cell. And so he says, be careful that you're not consumed. And then verse 16, he said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now we see something going on in verses 16. There's a flesh, there's a spirit. Notice the body's neutral. The body's neutral in this. See, we're all born in flesh, this stuff that wraps us. And boy, we got that old sinful nature, don't we? I mean, man, it is a nature that's awful. And but then he says, not only do we have that flesh, but thank God we have the Spirit. And so when we're saved by the grace of God, the Spirit of God comes and lives in us. And the Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And so certainly we need the Spirit of God that would indwell our bodies. And if we would walk in the Spirit, the Bible says, we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, you're going to have to ask somebody older than me before you find out if flesh don't bother you. My pastor's 70 years old. You're going to have to ask somebody older than him to find out when flesh quits bothering you. Flesh is always going to bother you. And flesh is always going to be on you while we're living. And that's why Paul is urging us to walk in the Spirit. He says, verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Boy, it's a war going on. Your flesh, I promise you, not much flesh wanted to get to church tonight. And listen, the reason the average Baptist church tonight don't like real Bible balanced preaching because it's full of flesh. Flesh don't like preaching. Flesh don't like praying. Flesh surely don't like getting right with God. And so this thing is a battle. And one of the best things that you know if you're saved is it's a battle going on you, whether to do right or to do wrong. I mean, it's a constant battle in our life if the Spirit of God lives. And I really didn't have that battle before I got saved. I knew what was right or wrong. But it really didn't bother me when I'd done wrong because I was living a wrongful lifestyle. Somebody say amen. I mean, it didn't bother me what I was doing every Friday, Saturday of my life. It didn't bother me. But when I got saved, the Spirit of God came in to live in me and made me a new creature. And so I'm glad there's somebody in me now that's a leading, guiding me into all truth. So now we see the flesh lusteth against the Spirit in verse 17. And the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would. If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest or revealed, which are these. Adultery. Fornication. Then uncleanliness or impurity. Lasciviousness, that's lust. Idolatry. And by the way, anything ahead of God tonight is an idol. It can be a bass boat, a tennis racket, a golf club. It can be a pocketbook. I mean, it's been a lot stupider stuff than that worshipped. Amen. They spoke at a Chinese restaurant worshiping a little pot-belly looking feller sitting up there. And you know, a lot of times we talk about them, but what about them idols that take place of God in our life being a good old independent fundamental Baptist church? A lot of them idols out there's car idols. I can tell you all kind of boys have been at car show Sunday. Going to die and go to hell because that's their idol. They've never put God as being their idol. Amen. I mean, we ought to serve one God, and that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So idolatry is big on idolatry. God hates idolatry. And then witchcraft.
My goodness, you don't have to go to a tarot card reader. Read the Bible. He'll tell you your future. And then hatred and variance, that's a debate. And emulations, that's magic or that's envy and jealousies. And wrath and strife and seditions and heresies. And envies and murders and drunkenness and revealings and such like of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, Paul here is dealing with a lifestyle. He's not dealing with a mess up. By the way, we're all a bunch of mess ups. You just stay out of this church long enough, you'll find yourself operating in them verses tonight. But honey, let me tell you, if the Spirit of God lives in you, you can't lay in there long. Sooner or later, you're going to run at the end of your chain if God lives in you. He's no respecter of persons. But you better not be pointing fingers at somebody, honey, because there's a lot bigger boys and girls than us that have failed by the grace of God. And so he says in verse 22, I love the way God inserts this word that great things hinge on it. But, I like that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now tonight I want to deal with three of these fruits of the Spirit this evening. I want to deal with that of love, joy, and peace. Now it's one thing to overcome the flesh and not do evil things. But it's quite something else to do good things. I know people say, well, I've arrived and I've overcome the flesh and I'm not doing wicked and bad things. Well, good for you. That's what you ought to be doing. But it ought to be a step a little further. We ought to be doing some good things, some works that is manifest in our life. Now, the legalist can boast that they're not guilty of adultery or murder, but can anyone see the graces of the Spirit in their life? Negative goodness is not enough in a life. There must be positive qualities as well. I can count you countless preachers that I wouldn't even let preach here because all they're going to do is come in here and gut my sheep, amen. I mean, they're going to tell you to cut your hair and get everything all cleaned up according to their standards. And they're going to tell you what they believe, whether it's in the Bible or not. They're going to tell you what they believe. But what they are, they're often legalism. And yeah, they're not running around sinning, but let me tell you, how much love have they got in their heart, Brother Dennis? Brother Joe, how much love have they got for people to try to be compassionate? Let me tell you, folks, you got to love people to win people, and you got to have some compassion to build a real church. I hear men say, well, you know what? Ain't no way you could be running the crowd, y'all running down there if you was really preaching. No, let me tell you something, honey. When sinners find out there's a God in heaven that loves them and it's a people that will accept them and Jesus is high and lifted, then sinners will be drawn by the grace of God. Hey, legalism will kill you and kill a church tonight. I don't know how many people I run off when I was a young preacher because I was ignorant. Before God cleans fish, He catches fish. And so a lot of times we're so negative. And let me tell you, negative goodness is not enough. In a life, there must be positive qualities as well. Now the contrast between work and fruit is huge tonight. So important. A machine in a factory can produce works, but it cannot produce fruit. And a fruit must grow out of a life. And in the case of the believer, it is the life of the Spirit. You cannot have these kind of fruits, these qualities that here Paul is writing down for the Christian to have in their life in a godly character unless the Spirit of God lives in you and is operating through you tonight. My goodness, we need to live the life of the Spirit. We know in Hebrews 9:14 that no flesh can please God. That is only dead works, honey. If the Spirit is not doing things, it'll come to pass. Unless Christ builds the church, it'll fall tonight. My goodness, I'm glad that we can see about the fruits of the Spirit. And then the first three are inward. Have you noticed this? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And then the second three are outward. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. And the last three are upward. There's faith, meekness, and temperance. Tonight, let's look at these three inward works of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit that are inward. First of all, it starts out with the first and the foremost, which all are derived from this one, love. You know, it's easy to say, I love you. But I'm not so sure we're walking about what we're talking. Say, I love you, Jesus. Do you really love Him? You know, He asked Peter that. He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, Peter, do you really love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He asked him a third time, Peter, do you really love me? He said, Lord, I love you. Tonight, it's easy to say that we love somebody. What is love? What is not love? Here, the fruit of the Spirit is love. We better know something about it. First of all, this love is agape love. It's a different love than any love in the Bible. It is the love that God shows us, for God is love. Let me tell you something tonight. If we don't have love in our hearts, we better check up and see if the God of this Bible lives in our heart or not. I'm not talking about compromising. I'm not talking about backing off the foot feed. I'm talking about standing what's right. But honey, we better have some love flowing out of our life if we're going to do anything for the cause of Christ in this old world. What are you living for? Are you trying to obtain the highest goal at your work? That's good. Everybody's got goal. But honey, let me tell you, when that tombstone sitting out there in the graveyard, it's going to be a beginning and an ending, and that slash is the only thing that matters. What you've done between then for the cause of Christ. Oh my goodness, love. That tombstone don't know if you was general. That tombstone don't know if you was lieutenant governor. Honey, grave, the grave takes us all alike tonight. So this love, agape love. Now, let's look in 1 Corinthians 13. Let's look here right quick at a teaching that Paul has put down in 1 Corinthians 13. Paul says in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, knowledge, and though I have all faith, so I can remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. He said, you can have all the faith in the world. If you ain't got love, you nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. We find out what it is now. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doeth not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Now, what is love? The spectrum of love has nine ingredients. Paul's wrote, and he says, in this love, there's nine ingredients in this love. I tell my wife, honey, I love you. I tell her that about every day. Brother Wendell, I try to get her to tell me three times a day. She said, well, I told you last week, that's enough for this week. I said, not for me. I want to hear today that you love me today. We was a dating and we was a riding. She had a Chevelle. And we was going down the road and I said, boy, I love you. She looked at me and I said, well, I love you. She looked at me. I said, I love you. She said, well, I just told you an hour ago I loved you. I want to hear it all the time, don't you? Somebody say amen. My goodness, here, what is love? Verse 4, love is patience. He said long-suffering. Anybody got problems with being long-suffering? I mean, my goodness, it's something else, ain't it? Long-suffering. I'm glad God's long-suffering to us. And then, let's don't leave long-suffering. Patience. Long suffereth long. You know the last time you told him to cut the grass and he didn't cut it and you blowed up and messed your date up Friday night? See, if you'd had a little patience, you could go on and eat that steak supper. Somebody say amen right there. Not got blowed up like a bullfrog. Patience, love suffereth long. Number two, he says kindness in verse number four. Kindness, oh yeah, charity suffers long and it's kind. Kindness, and he is kind. Boy, when Paul landed at Melita, he said the people showed us no little kindness. Hey, you can be kind. You can serve God. You can stand on what's right and still be kind. Don't nobody want to be around unkind people. Maybe the reason ain't nobody inviting you to go out and eat with them, maybe you ain't kind people. Some of you are going to have to tote people. You're going to have to pay people to tote you to the graveyard. Amen. Kind people. It don't hurt you to be a little kind. You want everybody to befriend you and be kind. You look like you eating gravel gravy and wind pudding and sawbriars all the time. Don't hurt you to smile at church. Men get up here and lead a song, you look like, my God, these old songs again. Y'all think of God of heaven we singing these old songs around here. You say, well, I guess Brother Ken going to preach the same old sermon over. Well, honey, we sang Amazing Grace more than one. You can sit down there and shout sometime when I preach the same sermon. Somebody say amen right there tonight. You can be a little kind. You can say thank you. You boys can still open some doors up. Need your jaws popped while you treat your wives. Run around in a new truck, four-wheeler and gun and dogs and traps. And they run around in them old Duane or sack dresses. Somebody say amen right there. Boy, you got your priorities right, ain't you? Kind. Kindness is kind. Now, don't shut down on me now. We're out preaching for a while. I ain't preached here in about 2 weeks. I'm ready to preach a little bit. Kindness and it's kind. Now, look here, verse 4. He said, love envieth not. That's generosity. Thank God for generous people. And then verse 4, love vauneth not itself, it's not puffed up. That's humility. You'd quit getting your feelings hurt if you quit thinking so much of yourself. I don't know why Brother David don't call on me to sing. I don't know why a preacher don't get me to preach. My Lord, I can't give enough time to preach myself. Love doeth not behave itself unseemly. Verse 4. Don't behave itself unseemly in verse 5. What is that? Courtesy. It's okay to be courteous. Hey, let me ask you something right now. Right now, in everybody's mind in the church, think of the most courteous person in this church you know. Right now, who come to your mind? Now, think of the most hateful person in here. Ooh. You ain't got to think long, have you? Courtesy. Then, verse 5, seeketh not her own, unselfish. Ain't always got to be first. We load the bus up to go eat, and there'll be 9 people want to sit on the front seat. You ain't thinking about that meal the church is buying. Don't get quiet on me now. You ain't thinking about the gas they put in that bus to get you there. You mully-grubbing rascal. It's not easily provoked. I need to work on that. Good temper. Hey, some of you know exactly what to say to your husband to get him, don't you? Won't you quit saying it and he'd quit acting so crazy? Thinketh no evil, guileless. Man, love don't think no evil. Love rejoiceth in verse 6, not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, sincerity. What is love?
fruit of the Spirit's love. If the Holy Ghost is flowing through you, love ought to be coming forth. We walk by flesh a lot more than faith. What's love? It's patience. It's long-suffering. It's kindness. It's generosity. It's humility and it's courtesy. It's unselfishness and good temper. Guilelessness and sincerity. Love, it is the sum and substance of a Christian life. It all began in love. Do you know that? In Jeremiah 31 and verse number 3, Jeremiah 31 and verse number 3. It all began in love. He said, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, or doubtless, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." But you better be glad He loved you to draw you into this thing. You couldn't get here without the cords of love being drawn. You was dead in trespasses and sin. I'm amazed God would walk by and draw us into the family of God. It all began in love. Ezekiel 16. Boy, here's a passage you don't hear preached much. Ezekiel chapter number 16, verse number 3. "And I say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, thy mother a Hittite. As for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither thou wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swallowed at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto you, to have compassion on you. But thou wast cast out in the open field of the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto you, when thou wast in thy blood, live." And in verse 8, "When I passed by thee and looked upon you, behold, thy time was the time of love." Boy, I'm glad He come by me and shared His love with me. John 3:16, one of the most simple yet the most profound verses in our Bible. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." I love this word and I'll go to my grave believing it. "For whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Boy, 1 John 4 and verse number 19. 1 John 4 and 19. We love Him. I tell you why. Because He first loved us. Listen, you didn't wake up one day and just decided you're just going to love God. You didn't wake up one day and say, "I'm just going to follow God." You better thank Him that the grace of God passed your way and drew you by the cords of kindness. And my friend, give you faith to believe. And you reached up and grabbed toward Calvary. And He saved you by His amazing grace. That's amazing to me. It's amazing. It all started in love. I tell you why you love Him. Because He first loved you. He died for you. And He lives for you. Matthew 22:37. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Then here's one I have trouble with, John 13 and 34. John 13 and 34. The Bible says this a new commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another. As I've loved you, that you also love one another. But this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love, one, not four, but two, another. Oh, tonight, love, it is the sum and substance of the Christian life. It all begins with love. Christianity is Christ. Christ is God, and God is love. Christianity is love in action. You hear me tonight? Christianity is love in action. Love. You know, he says, love your enemy. Pray for those that despitefully use you, that ye may be the children of your Father, the High. Oh my goodness, it's hard to love those that despitefully use you. Love, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And he says it was no accident that he listed that first and foremost. We're talking tonight about here the fruits that are inward. Because love, everything else flows out of it. You better be glad God set His love on you and His affection on you. And by the way, it's okay to raise your hands toward Him and say, thank you, Lord, for loving me the way you've loved me. He wasn't embarrassed to save you. Why are you embarrassed to throw your hands up to Him? He ought to have been embarrassed to save some of us. Well, after love, then comes joy. People get this confused with happiness. Joy is not just another word for happiness. Happiness depends on happenings. You think about it. Money don't produce joy. It produces happiness. Sometimes. Now sit there like you crazy. You ever got a little something that you wouldn't expected to get? Man, you said, I'm so happy. New shotgun. New bow and arrow. I can only think the way I live. I can't think about new computer. But those things do bring some happiness. Will you agree with me with that? Some people bring happiness. I mean, the highlight, I'm going to tell you, one of the highlights of my whole week is Sunday. I get to come worship. I'm needing to worship real bad. I'm needing to hear some old songs and old singing. I'm needing to see some people come to the altar and slanging snot and loving each other and loving on me. I'm needing some of that right now in my life. That's a highlight of my day, Sunday, to come and sense the Spirit of God move in our church and help families. But you know what's one of the most highlights of the day is when I get to leave and things went good and I sat down with my family and have a meal. And my children, Brother Troy, are there and now them grandbabies on the floor. It don't get no better than that. That brings me happiness. Now let me ask you something. If I lost both of them grandchildren this week, I wouldn't have happiness. I could not have happiness. It would knock the wind out of my sail. Ain't no sense you saying, preacher, get happy. I would not be happy. But I can have joy. Listen to me, church. Happiness depends on happenings. But joy unspeakable and full of glory only comes from Jesus. There was a lady here the other night at camp meeting. She lost her baby. I went to the funeral. And I've never seen such a jubilous mother that has just lost a... And folks, I'm going to tell you one of the pitifulest things I've ever seen. A little old coffin and fit on our communion table. And the preacher went to preaching. And the joy of Jesus come around here. Let me tell you what, she wasn't happy. She had joy unspeakable and full of glory. Only Jesus brings joy. My pastor's wife died. I preached the funeral in Philadelphia, Mississippi a few years ago. He wasn't happy. But I was preaching, the Spirit of God come in that place,
And he stood up and began to shout. And had camp meeting, shout, waving his hands, rejoice. He had joy. Not happiness. This world gonna let you down with your happiness. I thought sure if I could get to the top of that corporate ladder, I'd be a happy man. It's so lonely up yonder. And Brother Randall, it's a lot easier. You know, you'd kill every deer in the woods if they was up instead of down. It's easy to hit stuff up high. Boy, everybody's shooting at you. It's lonely up yonder. Boy, I'm glad Jesus gives us joy tonight. And in this teaching, I want to say this love, out of love flows joy. If we did not have love for Jesus, we certainly wouldn't have no joy. So the second fruit is joy. Joy smiles in the face of adversity. Joy smiles in the storm. Joy has its everlasting source in God. John 16:22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Psalm 16:11. You talk about a powerful passage. This right here is loaded. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Somebody come here and got on one night in worship and they left and said, why does everybody there get happy and rejoice and sort of giggling and laughing and having a good time? Joy. You see, beside Him there is joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. How many times you come to church and your happiness wasn't there because of happenings? But the Spirit of God moved in and joy came up. Joy, joy, joy. Thank God for joy that lives in us, that only Jesus can put in us. I never had joy when I met Jesus, friend. Thank God for joy unspeakable and full of glory tonight. Glad He can give us joy in our storms. My goodness, joy. Joy is happiness of heaven. It's imparted by the Spirit of God. I love it. The Spirit of God moves around in heaven and brings that joy and puts in our heart and in our spirit. The world knows nothing about what we're preaching about. They hunt joy in a bottle. They hunt joy in things. Honey, the only joy comes by the Holy Ghost tonight. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can have joy and lose everything you got. We focus on happenings. My 401k hit the bottom. Happenings. Come to church, praise God, there's joy back. 401k didn't get my joy. I believe sin can get it. But you look what that verse says. In thy presence is fullness of joy. You got to get in His presence to have joy. Thank God for joy. Now, Paul and Silas, for sake of time, I won't go there, but in Acts 16:25, you've heard me preach on it. They had joy in jail. Remember the Philippian jailer locked them up, and lo and behold, he's the one who got arrested that night. Holy Ghost come by and arrested him and saved him. You know what? You remember the Bible said, and an earthquake came and shook the prison doors and the prisoners were loosed. And the jailer sprang in with a light and he said, hey boys, are you all here? Paul said, hey, well do yourself no harm. We're all here. You know what got his attention more than that earthquake? Was joy. Joy in jail. They were singing. They wasn't pouting. They were singing and singing praises to God. There's a praying and a praising. They had joy in jail. Can I tell you, I don't care how far locked up you are in this world tonight. Hey, you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory from Jesus tonight. That earthquake is not what turned this man. My goodness, he heard them singing. The prisoners heard them, is what the Bible said. They listening to it. In your midnight hour, you can't have joy. They did. But what a Christian was Paul. Man, what a Christian. I mean, some of us, we've been walking around. We've been looking out. I wonder where a block's loose so I can crawl out of this thing. I'm getting out of here by morning. I mean, we'd be looking how to scam somebody and getting a key. We'd be doing something. And then no doubt, maybe Silas the younger, he said, now, Paul, what are we going to do? He said, son, first of all, we're going to pray. And then after we pray, we're going to sing. Could you imagine Paul singing what the Holy Ghost done in that jail cell that night? He had joy in jail. Can I tell you, you can have joy in jail tonight? And boy, one of the writers gave me something last night that, I mean, it sure did help my heart. And I wrote it in my Bible. And Brother Joe, I'm going to use it in a prison revival this May. I want you to listen to what he said about Paul and Silas in that jail. Such men like Paul do not escape from prison. They escape in prison. Can I say that again? It done something for me. I said it done something for three of you. Such men do not escape from prison. They escape in prison. Aren't you glad Jesus can take you out of your circumstance tonight? It is the love and joy of the indwelling Christ, which brings us to the last, peace. Love, joy, peace. I got a definition for you, closing in peace. First of all, John 14:27, he said something. John 14:27. Look what he said. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace. Now there's two things you've got to understand tonight. Number one, it is essential in order to go to heaven to have peace with God. Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. I'm glad I have peace with God. There was an adversary against me, the devil. I had a big problem. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I owed a sin debt I could not pay. And by grace through faith of what Jesus done for me has brought me that peace with God. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith. Oh, Lord. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace, here it is, with God. Through, only one way, our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you're going to have peace with God that He says forgiven is through His Son, the Lord Jesus. You can work your fingers a bone. You can give every dime you got in the collection plate. But if you've not been born again by the grace of God, in hell you will lift your eyes because you bypassed His Son by faith. Tonight, this thing of peace, we have peace with God. And then Philippians 4:7, Paul's writing again. And there is a peace of
God. I'm glad I have the peace of God tonight. You ever had a great storm come or a great crisis come and look like, you know, I can remember when God came. I don't want to be like a broke record, but all I can do is preach out of my experience. I can remember we just built a new addition, Brother David, in that plant. And I walked in and I looked at them lights one morning and God said, "What are you doing here?" God spoke to me right over yonder at a deer plot one evening, getting ready to preach here one Sunday morning. God told me, "You're fixing to leave your job, and you're fixing to go by faith and go in ministry." I told men, and you know what they told me? "You're crazy. You've been here 24 years. You're fixing to walk out of that." Now this is, I said all that to say this. You know why I did? Because I had the peace of God. And it don't matter what happens, I got the peace of God about it. You remember when Peter got out of the boat to go to Jesus? You know what he said? "Lord, if it be thou, come." That ain't blind faith. You better know what you're doing and where you're going. And it's only by that book it's going to take. "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come." You know what he said? "Come!" It's up to him then. You notice he didn't lasso and drag him and jerk him out there. God had got so big in him, Brother Joe, he looked around at that crowd sitting back there. He said, "Y'all sit here, you want to. I'm fixing to go what he's done told me to get out there." Ain't it some way he can put something in you and don't affect nobody else around you, but it'll run you out of your bed. And watch this. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Throw all your rocks you want to. He walked on the water. When's the last time you walked on it? Go on, pick you up a handful and chunk his way. When have you walked? You believe this book? He walked on the water. It's what the Bible said. Walked on the water. And that's something right there. Go on, pick you up a rock or two. Yeah, he had a little cussing problem, like some of you. He had a fit problem like some of us. Some of y'all get so close to cussing, you write it on a paper and stick it up to the window. When he got out yonder, he began to sink. Lord didn't say nothing. He didn't have to say nothing. Because what he said back yonder worked out yonder. Peace of God. I'm glad he didn't give you the peace of God. I thought about in building this church that time. It's amazing God done this, ain't it? I mean, y'all think about it a minute now. We was in a study past the hat. We thought we could take up $450 a week, maybe. But Brother Randall, there's something in there. Brother Randall, you know why I left that church over there? Because God told me to, and I had the peace of God in me. It didn't matter what nobody else said. But when you got the peace of God, it'll get you through anything coming to you. Can you imagine a handful of people building a church like this? You know how come he never sent us the Jones crowd? Because he gets all the honor and the glory about it. It ain't no big dogs in here. They can't take a preaching. They come in, they want to run everything. I don't want to know what you give. I just want to be sure you give. It ain't none of my business what you give. This is what the devil say. See, you go to acting crazy, and I go to preaching, the devil say, they're the biggest tithers y'all got. Back off there and get on something else. You'd be surprised how many devils is on a preacher. But it ain't no big ones, ain't no little ones. If God's blessed you, praise God. I wish every family in here had a brand new Cadillac. That's what you want to drive. Escalade. I wish everybody had one. I mean, bling, bling out. I wish every church member I had, Brother Dennis, I mean, was loaded, buddy. I wouldn't be jealous. I'd be praise God. But you know something? When God will give you a peace about what you're doing, it don't matter what anybody else is saying. Just be sure you got the peace of God. Be sure you got peace with God. Be sure you're not going to die and not have peace with God. Paul says, Philippians 4 and 7, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. How many times would you have been better if you'd have waited on God and kept your mind? How many times if you know, now Lord, this is yours, you told me to do this. But when you got out there, you know what He told me? I didn't tell you to do that. Has anybody ever been as crazy as your preacher? I mean, just like you went off the deep end and do crazy stuff. Like you're 16. Why does a man need to put a house in a car he builds? Crazy. God didn't tell me to do that. Now I'm sitting there looking, I guess I'll eat that steering wheel, Brother Gerald. Don't look at me, you're just crazy as I am. I mean, it's amazing. We better wait and let God tell us what He wants us to do. Well, I'm like Peter. I go a fishing and your net gets empty and you wonder why in the world ain't nothing in your net. Because God didn't tell you to go do something, but you went in spite of you and Him. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of not having nothing. I'm tired of driving 4 days to get to a place to preach and God ain't in it. I got a place here to preach and I need to be here preaching. You better be sure God's telling you. Am I preaching to anybody tonight? Now here's the definition. Acts 12 and 6, Peter's locked up in prison. Turn to it. Acts 12 and 6, we're going home. Somebody shout amen. No, don't do that. Acts 12, 1, about that time Herod the king, I'm glad it's a little K, stretched forth his hands. He's got a lot of hands to vex certain of the church. That's harm. Boy, he'd love to knock you out of the race. And he killed James, the brother John, the sword. There's running buddies, Peter, James, and John. Can you imagine? I mean, your best friend just got beheaded. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to get Peter too. When he apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him in four quarters of soldiers to keep him. Verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing the church unto God for him. When Herod would have brought him forth the same night, look what he's doing. He's sleeping. You know why he's sleeping? Because God done told him something. What's God done told you? You can go to sleep. If He's told you something. He ain't kicking and resisting. He's just laid down and said, God, it's yours. Boy, I'm glad I figured out this church is His. I'm trying to figure out you are His. Because it really bothers me when you go act crazy. I see you out there and I asked my wife Sunday, I said, who wasn't at church today? She said, you ain't got time. But you know what? If God can't get you to do it, I can't get you to do it. Now this is my definition of peace. I feel like the Lord gave me that this evening. I didn't get it out of the book. It may be in a book somewhere. But I wrote it down. And I think it's pretty good. Well, you've responded, I don't think I'm going to tell you what it is. Peace is resting in an uncomfortable place. Brother Denson, that car lot wasn't doing too good. You could still rest. Brother Mark, Georgia Power lays you off, son. You can rest. Brother Jason, your little boy takes a turn out there somewhere. You can rest. Glad we have peace of God tonight.